Welcome to the Jazz Cast. My name is Shannon Gunn, and today we have Donnell Fox from Boston on the Jazz Cast. He's actually performing on Friday, 2 days from today, at AMP, which is a new venue at Strathmore. They just got a new piano, and so we're really excited to have him on the podcast and to talk about what he's going to be doing. So without further ado, Mr. Fox, how are you today?
Very good, Shannon. So glad to meet you here over our little Skype setup.
All right.
For your podcast.
Yeah. And so go ahead and tell me a little bit about yourself.
So the we should say the show that I'm doing at the AMP by Strathmore is a solo piano show. Some people know my music through the jazz quartet. We were just talking a little earlier. They have a jazz quartet with the wonderful Warren Wolf. Who's been playing with me since 2006 when he was just a student coming out of Berklee College. And I have a trio with Daphnis Pietto, Cuban drummer, fabulous drummer. And I do solo piano. And my background is both in jazz and classical music. Most jazz pianists, of course, study classical music in their early trainings, how we get our technique and ability to do great things in a piano, like Art Tatum and Oscar Peterson and so forth. Keith Jarrett, another obvious example, Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea. But I actually really focused on music composition early in my career with the wonderful Gunther Schuller, the composer, conductor. So I've always been interested in how music works, how it, you know, how it's organized and what it's made of. And I like to look and break it apart and analyze it. And that brought me to lots of different types of music that I love. And I didn't want to be forced to be in certain categories. So early on, you know, I'm studying classical piano. That means I'm playing Bach, I'm playing Beethoven with my teacher, Jeanette Jaguer, and all the classics. At the same time, at home, there were recordings of Miles Davis and Thelonious Monk, a music of Igor Stravinsky, and Beethoven symphonies and so forth. And I loved Stravinsky, and I loved Monk, and I loved Miles, and I didn't see a separation between the musics. The separation had to do with the way the institutions were looking at it, right? They would say, wait, well, are you going to be a concert pianist, or are you going to be a jazz pianist? You can't do both. And I'd say, what do you mean I can't do both? So that's how that started, where, because you said that you liked the Piazzolla, for example, one of my CDs, and Piazzolla himself studied music composition in France, loved jazz when he was a young teenager living in New York, and then, you know, went back to Argentina and took the tango music to this sort of new heights of concert music. So he blended a lot of different genres together. So I found a kindred spirit there. Piazzolla, right? I mean, through his tangos that he loved Bach, he loved counterpoint, fugues, jazz, and that's what I've been doing. So for people to come Friday, or if they come to hear me with my jazz quartet, they'll hear me do, say, a piece by Horace Silver, an arrangement. They'll hear me do something about Piazzolla. I've been known to play Schubert songs and original pieces that use Bach themes, and sometimes it's not obvious, and sometimes I make it obvious. But I always try to make it organic, so that unless you're really sort of a connoisseur of knowing exactly where all the music is coming from, you just say, "Hey, that was happening. That I was digging that." And by the way, what was that ballad you were playing? That wonderful ballad? And I'll say, "Oh, you mean the piece by Robert Schumann?"
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. So do you have any tracks you'd like to share?
Sure. Well, from the Scarlatti Jazz Suite Project CD, since we just spoke of Robert Schumann, there's a piece on there called David's Blunder. We could hear that, and you get a sense of how that works in a jazz quartet. I believe it was recorded live at Scullis Jazz Club few years back, and it's with Terry Lynn Carrington, the wonderful Terry Lynn Carrington on drums.
Cool.
your own Warren Wolf on vibraphone, John Lockwood from South Africa on bass, and yours truly.
Thank you.
And so what inspired you to do this song like this?
Well, in that, in particularly the Schumann piece, I just love the melody of that piece. I mean, I was playing it in the piano, and this is a beautiful melody. And I started wondering, I said, well, could I play this in a jazz setting? Could I arrange it where it works? You know, not all music will switch its clothes easily, you know. And this really fed it. It was like a beautiful ballad. It's just the vibraphone sort of shimmers on top, the melody. I more or less play the opening Schumann the way it was written, and then we add these colors and we improvise on the harmonies. And it gives you a whole nother perspective. I mean, just a little jazz history. I mean, when we say the word jazz, and most of the jazz standards, you know, if you think of music, say, from the 50s, 60s, you think of the early Miles Davis recordings, you know, and you'll, My Funny Valentine, right? You hear these classic songs, but these were show tunes the jazz musicians took that were written by Broadway composers and revamped them, right? Added harmonic textural changes, added rhythm. And now we more, these songs, a lot of them basically live on through the jazz medium. So it's the same process, really, in that these classical melodies and harmonies that I love, and transforming them just the way you would do with a classic show tune. And reharmonizing them a bit, doing things that work, you know, with the bass. And I think Robert Schumann would be very happy with it.
Very great. Great. Do you have any other tracks that you'd like to share?
Sure. Well, you mentioned the Libre Tango. That's a classic of Piazzolla's that we did. And that piece, I mean, Piazzolla himself was interesting when I started listening to his music really carefully, how much he was improvising with more in the style of the, what they call Nuevo Tango, the new tango. But he was a great improviser, and so it inspired me to work with the chord changes that are in that piece, and more in a jazz sensibility in the way that the rhythms are being used. And there's another piece on that CD that it's so revamped that actually I call it Variations on Piazzolla's Oblivion, which is another classic of his, because I do it twice as fast as he's ever played it, and I put in a lot of these blues licks.
Yeah.
But that might be interesting to compare those two. Thank you.
So what inspired you to take Libertango or Oblivion and put it into your perspective or your particular version of it?
Yeah, well, again, I mean, if I demonstrate on a little electric piano here, will they hear that?
Ooh. Can you put the mic up next to it?
I don't know if you can edit, so we'll just try this here. If I go...
It sounds really... you can hear it, but it sounds really like it's coming through a MIDI piano or something.
Okay.
But you can do it. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to just sort of demonstrate a typical tango bass rhythm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now if I add sort of blues and modern jazz chords on top, if I can get here and your listeners can hear this with this little microphone. Let's try again. I don't know if that came through.
Yeah. I mean, I think it actually dropped out a little bit. Sorry to those who are listening. And you'll hear in the podcast, it does sound kind of tinny, but we can see what you're talking about with the blues, like coming over the bass line of the tango. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And so I really heard those things together, and by shifting the tempo and doing things rhythmically that Terry Lynn's doing in the drums, I think we came up with a transformation of it. I mean, we play his themes,
mm-hmm.
But it's much more extended and more ruckus, I could say, in the way that we're approaching it, that particular piece.
Cool. Great. And so what are you listening to these days, or who are your influences right now?
Oh, there's so... I'm still enamored with the great young Cuban musicians. There's so many that their natural talent, and then the way that they think and are trained in Cuba, they're very open-minded about different styles of music and embrace the various styles. I mean, the elder statesman, Chuchu Valdez, I mean, he's marvelous. You have Gonzalo Rubalcaba. There's a young pianist making his way, Alfredo Rodriguez. And, of course, my friend and drummer, Daphnis Pietos, taught me a lot about different interactions of rhythm. I stay in touch with a lot of the young classical pianists. One I mentored recently, talking about improvisation, George Lee, the young Chopin specialist. There's so much music out there, as you know now, that's on the internet, and anything that catches my ear at the moment. And what I'm doing at the particular time, if I'm really focusing, say, in writing music, which is tends to be more toward the concert music, what you call contemporary classical, then I'll be looking into some of the modern composers and that realm, and in the jazz. Anyone is doing something creative, you know, trying to find their own way, their own voice, and not afraid to challenge themselves and find new discoveries by making mistakes, which is a good thing. As Monk said, Thelonious Monk said, there are no mistakes, or he said, there are no wrong notes on the piano. Which is a way of philosophical approach, which is to say, constantly experiment and
mm-hmm.
don't be afraid to trip, because a trip actually leads yourself to another discovery, right? It opens up another door, another perspective.
True. So what brings you to the Cuban musicians? Why are you interested in that?
Well, I think it's a number of things. I mean, it's just the music, but there's the sense of poetry in the way that they use rhythm. For example, here, if you take Motown rock and various forms, it's a little hard hitting on the bass. It's good dance you know, but it's the Cuban rhythms, it's a little more sensual, and there's a little more air between them, and there's a little more elegance. Mm-hmm. That lends itself to going different directions. My mother's from Panama, so I probably have some of that in my blood.
Hmm.
Not Cuba directly, but, you know, the South American awareness of music. But for me, there's just more room creatively with the Afro-Cuban rhythms. I mean, the rhythms that I don't like to listen to is a lot of this pop, techno pop stuff where it's always four on the floor, you know, where the beat's always one. And there's very little room to use your imagination or go anywhere. You know, I mean, it's like somebody's hitting you over the head with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
So music that gives a place for you to reflect, you know, on who you are as a human being, and also, you know, gives some dynamic room for development. And Afro-Cuban rhythms are just very sophisticated that way. And you can layer them. They're layered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Do you have any upcoming projects or CDs that you're working on?
Yeah, I mean, after the DC concert, I'm going to Zellerbach Hall in California, Berkeley, mm-hmm. California, and play with my jazz trio with Daphnis Pietto, which I call the Scalata Jazz Suite Project, but it takes a twist from what the recording you have. We're adding more of these Afro-Cuban rhythms and some Horace Silver tributes, some new pieces I wrote in tribute to Horace Silver. And after that, I get together with my Innovations Quartet, a new quartet with Warren Wolf, but it's going to be Obed Calavera, mm-hmm. who is the drummer for the San Francisco Jazz Collective, and his parents are from Haiti, so he brings a whole interesting way of thinking rhythmically.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this with us. Do you have any parting words of wisdom or anything else you'd like us to know, or do you want to review the upcoming concert again at AMP?
So, yeah, I look forward to this new venue. I know a little about it, except that I know it's, you know, trying to reach a different audience and have a wide range of musics. And I'm going to be exploring. If you come Friday night, you'll definitely hear me work from playing Bach to playing some John Coltrane, Piazzolla, and Fox all mixed in.
Cool.
So wide range of stuff. And for any of musicians or creative artists listening in, be yourself, and really explore. You know, don't be afraid to explore new genres or frontiers. Don't ever feel that you know, can only work in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's important is that the music or the art that you're working on speaks to the people that are listening or viewing. Right, you want to communicate.
Well, thank you very much for that. We appreciate that. And we look forward to hopefully catching you this weekend over at AMP by Strathmore. I think that's it. Anything else?
No, I think that's good, Shannon. Will I see you there?
Yeah, I'll try to make it out. I have to look at my calendar and make sure I'm okay with that. But I should be able to come out for free to come too.
Okay, great. So, I look forward to meeting you.
All right, I look forward to meeting you too. Thank you very much.
Thank you.